Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Welcome to our hosts, Susan Franson, Gina McAndrews, and Paul Wearson.
Thanks, Mike, and we're excited to find out about Lincoln Highway Days today and to get a preview of the first day of school. As Paul has some personal stories of Bill Riley, whose retirement was celebrated at the State Fair last week, our final segment will be Paul's recollections of both Bill Riley Jr., who just retired, and of his father, and how Bill Riley's talent show got started.
And I'm excited that there's going to be a rodeo as part of Lincoln Highway Days. So I suppose we better get started with the first guest, who is Steve Skaggs. He's president of the Main Street in Nevada, who's going to tell us about the overwhelming opportunities we have to look forward to this weekend. Welcome to Local Talk, Steve. I guess we should begin with the opening events on Friday night.
Hey, good morning, Gina. This is Steve Skaggs. Hey, we are very excited to be here this morning, and thanks for having us on. We have a bunch of great events here in Nevada this weekend for Lincoln Highway Days. We've been doing Lincoln Highway Days here in Nevada since the early 80s. I believe 1983 was the first one, and we are the only community in the United States that has a community celebration about the Lincoln Highway. So it makes us a little bit unique. So Gina, Susan, and Paul, we're going to kick things off actually tomorrow night, Thursday night, with our Main Street Block Party in downtown Nevada. They're going to have some free food and music, and then we're going to show an outdoor movie right in the street, kind of like a mini drive-in. We're going to show the Cars movie for the kids, so we hope everybody comes out for that. We're trying something new this year. We've got some events on Friday. There's a New Cara lunch downtown. The carnival rides and games start around 5 p.m. down at the Story County Fairgrounds. There's a softball tournament. There is a Journey tribute show at our own Talent Factory downtown, a concert. And then Saturday is when we really kick things off. So we have the Lincoln Highway Dash walk run starting at 9 a.m. So we'll have some runners running right down the parade route just as the parade starts at 10 a.m. Right down Lincoln Highway. We will have a variety of events down at the Story County Fairgrounds for Lincoln Highway Days. We're going to have a number of food trucks down there. We've got a variety of food. The Nevada firefighters are having their hog roast. The Nevada Baptist Church has their traditional free games. So there's lots of free fun down there. We've got our rides and carnival games going. We have a classic car show in downtown Nevada, as well as an antique tractor show after the parade until 4 p.m. right on Main Street. We have the Nevada High School wrestling team is having a beanbag toss. A tournament down at the Story County Fairgrounds, the area known as the old tennis court. We've got free entertainment and dance at the Doolin Pavilion at the Story County Fairgrounds from 11 to 4. We have kids pedal tractor pulls down at the fairgrounds. So we have the Presbyterian Church is doing their traditional ice cream social at the church. And then from 6 p.m. to midnight, the Nevada JCs are having their beer garden with the concert after the rodeo. And then, Gina, I know you were excited. We're having the Nevada Community Rodeo back again this year. And that actually begins at 6:30 down at the Story County Fairgrounds. And we're looking for a great turnout for that this year as well. I think they have a record number of participants.
Wow, that's quite a weekend. Nobody should be bored in Nevada this weekend.
No, I think we're going to keep everybody busy.
And awake.
That's right.
I talked to somebody who lives near the fairgrounds, and she's already bracing for it.
You might want some earplugs if you're trying to go to bed early.
By the way, full disclosure or a warning, we have a list of words you can't say on the radio, and we can't talk about prices. And for some reason, free, no charge, are both considered prices. So that's all right. I've announced it that we've used those words, so I don't have to cut them out.
Okay, very good.
So do you have a full rodeo at the rodeo? I mean, with all the bull riding and saddle bronks?
It is. They have several bull riding events, with all the excitement that goes with that. Those guys are awfully brave or crazy or maybe both. Other riding and roping events down there. The turnout we've gotten in the past few years is extraordinary from the rodeo, both in participants and people coming to see it. So it is for a town of Nevada's size an outstanding rodeo to come to. You'll not see one like that many places. And it actually got Best Rodeo of the Year in 2019. In the area. So we hope that everybody shows up again this year.
So it sounds like this is going to be the 38th year.
I believe so. We did have to take last year off, unfortunately. So we're thrilled to be back this year with all our usual events and some new ones.
So which ones are the new ones?
The Thursday night block party is a new event for us this year. And I think everything else, the car show and tractor show on Main Street is new as well.
And what time again is the parade?
The parade will be at 10 a.m. and that runs right down Lincoln Highway from the east edge of Nevada. We have a little bit of a detour this year because if you've been through Nevada lately, the center of downtown is pretty much a big pile of dirt at the moment. So they're actually going to come towards the west on Lincoln Way from the east edge of town. They're going to take a little detour one block south onto 8th Street. They're going to follow K Avenue right through the downtown for four blocks. Then they're going to cut back north on 4th and back onto Lincoln Way down to 1st Street, which goes right to the fairgrounds as usual. So a little bit of a detour. So if you normally set up your chair at the corner of 6th and Lincoln Highway, you're going to miss the parade this year. So you might want to move a block to the south.
And then it sounds like quite a few activities with the rides and everything are at the fairgrounds. Is that right?
Yeah. We've got some great carnival rides down at the fairgrounds. You know, it's got that that great small town fair atmosphere to it. We actually have all kinds of different food and games down at the fairgrounds for the kids. We've got even more than we had a couple of years ago, so things are really catching on. Barbecue, ice cream, all kinds of regular type fair treats. So that will be where I'll be hanging out for at least a portion of the day.
So what's the history of Lincoln Highway Days? How did this all get started?
Well, you know, it started, like I said, back in the early 80s, a group of community folks just got together, decided Nevada needed their own kind of, every small town needs its own festival, something that's their kind of their signature event. And we're so pleased that they did that and that Lincoln Highway Days has continued to this day. It's currently run under the Main Street Nevada organization. It's a committee under that group, but it is its own committee. We are always looking for volunteers. If anybody out there would really love to get involved, it's a great fun group. We do a lot of fun things in preparation of it. And we're just happy to be doing it again this year.
And is there anything on Sunday? Just rest.
Sunday, we're all going to take the day off.
I'm sure you'll need it.
I think you're right.
Is it quite a big parade? I mean, do you have people coming from other areas, or is it mostly a lot of local folks?
No, it is a big parade. You'll want to allow an hour for that. We draw a variety of people from all over central Iowa that like to participate in it. More in when we have election years, but we probably won't have a whole lot this year. But there will be all kinds of interesting events in the or entries into the parade this year. And kids, bring your large grocery sack because it will get filled with candy.
Speaking of grocery sacks, do they have sack races as well?
We do not have a sack race. I don't know how the liability works with those anymore. It's easy for us older folks to fall down and hurt ourselves and that kind of stuff. But you know, we do have, like I said, we have the kids pedal tractor pull, and I don't know if you've ever been to one of those, but it is absolute riot, where the kids pedal the tractors and race, that would kind of fall into that same category.
Well, I have a question for Paul. Paul, are you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Yes, you were uncharacteristically quiet. Of course, when your arm is Gina, she really comes up with the questions. But
Gina was firing questions left and right. So I've been a listener so far.
I've been a listener. Well, I wonder, have you ever been to a Lincoln Highway Days?
I think I was there early on when back in. I remember a couple of times I've been there because I'm a real old 4-H'er, so I spent a lot of time on the fairgrounds at Story County Fair, and I love going back there just for nostalgic reasons. And that was some time ago that I went to Lincoln Days, so I'm sure it's vastly improved and bigger. And just by what was said, I can't believe the number of events. And I wasn't aware of the caliber of the rodeo. That's very impressive. Wow.
Well, when Gina told me she loved rodeos, I jumped to the conclusion that she'd actually ridden in a rodeo. Gina, is that not true?
Yes, I've been in a couple rodeos. I was in the high school rodeo, and then I was on the Iowa State rodeo team back in the 80s. And anyway, still do a little bit of ranch rodeo and that sort of thing, a lot of riding.
Well, Gina, what's your event in the rodeo?
Mostly team roping and barrel racing, although I've done some breakaway roping and goat tying, and did a little bit of bull riding in my day.
That's pretty impressive.
They were smaller bulls than just, they were just kind of little local. much smaller bulls than they have now.
You were riding non-lethal bulls, right?
Yes. Yes. That
I'm
didn't know
sure.
what we were doing.
That I'm not sure that makes it that much better. It's still pretty scary.
Yeah, it wasn't a very smart idea.
Well, you must have liked it pretty well if you were in the club and came back again.
Oh, yeah. I think, it was about 2 years ago was the last one I was in.
Wow. Have you ever been hurt?
Nope. No, a few bruises, but anything. That just comes with it. Most of the time, it was just barrel racing because your knee hits that barrel if you have to get very close.
Well, then it won't be your first rodeo.
Won't be my first rodeo.
I got that, Susan.
Well, several years ago, we had a new reporter for KHOI, and she went to a rodeo. And she did a story about my first rodeo, but it doesn't quite match Gina's stories.
Yeah, on the Iowa State rodeo team, we used to, with the area, we had to go up in North to South Dakota, and a lot of the rodeos, it was still winter up there because it had to be during the school year. So we had many a cool evening driving, and two of us would be driving, and two of us were sleeping in the gooseneck part of the old livestock trailer. Three sleeping bags.
Wow.
Because they weren't insulated and all that like they are now, the fancy ones.
Wow.
I was amazed at the rodeo, at the behind the scenes operations of it. You know, the parts you don't think about, the all of the work that goes into preparing the grounds, and you know, even watching the riders and the people come in with their trucks and trailers and all the gear that that goes along with that. It is quite an operation, and it is truly something to see.
Well, I didn't know when I looked at the schedule is just so overwhelming. I didn't even try to read it that the Talent Factory was having a tribute show, and we cover their shows often on KJY, but of course they haven't had much to cover lately. Do you know what is a tribute? Who it's a tribute to?
It is a tribute to probably one of your favorite bands, Susan, the rock band Journey, who was popular in the 70s and 80s. They're actually one of my favorite bands. I love Journey. And this particular group is from, I believe, Omaha, and is probably one of the best ones that at recreating the Journey concert experience. So it will be a great show downtown and should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and of course, one of the things that struck me when I read your schedule was this is like a state fair and a local community event, and a lot of history.
It is, and we're, you know, we brought back the event's been through, you know, a number of iterations throughout the years. We wanted to bring back the make sure we celebrated the Lincoln Highway, which is you know, runs right through Nevada and Ames, and you know, have the tractor show and the car display and the parade, the rotary parade right on the Lincoln Highway, as well as the dash, you know. So there's a number of events that are, you know, truly celebrating our history and heritage. And now that the, you know, the event has gone on almost 40 years, it's almost got some heritage of its own now. And you know, the community really does get a buzz this time of year. Everybody talking to their friends, planning where they're going to meet up for Lincoln Highway Day. So that has really been fun over the years to see that kind of thing continue to develop.
You must have started it before Highway 30 became the new Lincoln Highway.
It was probably, yeah, somewhere around that time. I'm sure one of the longer time residents could probably tell you that. But yeah, it you know, with Highway 30, you know, it does bypass the Lincoln Highway in a lot of places, and Nevada is one of them. But it's really been great the last few years to see the renewed interest in Lincoln Highway. Here in Nevada, we created a new park right at our the intersection of our downtown. To celebrate the Lincoln and Jefferson highways, which intersect right there. And those, you know, in the early part of the 19th century, those were the interstates. That was the way you got across the country, was Lincoln Highway. And in the summertime, we see quite a bit of tourism and, you know, vintage cars and things that are driving the Lincoln Highway just as it was. Because, you know, in a lot of places, it still is a highway and exists, so you can follow the original route for most of it. But we're fortunate to have such a cool historic thing. And if you go to our downtown a park, there's actually some placards there that you can read the history of the Lincoln Highway.
Well, Paul and I used to go to another very interesting spot on, and I thought it was where the Lincoln Highway and the Jefferson Cross. Paul, you want to talk about that?
What, the Nyland Cafe, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nyland Cafe was just and it still is quite a place to be, because in talking with the folks at the Nyland Cafe, and probably you could talk to people who are old timers in Nevada too, it's just a remarkable thing that there are all these aficionados and people who travel these old highways and really are very involved in the nostalgia of the old highway, you know, Route 66 and all these old pathways that really crossed the United States before the interstate system. And you're going to have some of those, I'm sure, at the celebration of Nevada. These people have come to the Nyland Cafe as real aficionados of highway travel in the 20s and 30s, and the Nylund Cafe really capitalizes on that era. And it's a great little diner, and they really made an effort to make that a memorable stop for the people who follow the highway. And so I'm sure that among the celebrants at the Nevada Festival, you're going to have some people from out of town who are really old highway people and can tell you anything about the old highway system. And I'm old enough to remember that Highway 30 really did go right through Nevada. And just think of all the benefits to these communities in those days where all the main traffic went through. You're going to have some people stop and do business. So when you have a bypass like you have now with the more recently constructed 30, there's a real probably loss of business to downtowns and places like that. So this festival celebrates the days when people were driving right through town instead of the interstate highway, and that had to have a benefit for everybody. So there's a piece of nostalgia in a festival like this, and it's also a celebration of what Nevada is today. And from the description I heard in the schedule, it's really improved and gotten bigger since the last time I was there. So this sounds great. And I still can't get over the fact that there's this great rodeo, you know, that stands out. We talk about a lot of festivals around the area, but I don't know of anyone else other than Dayton up there, the big Dayton rodeo where there's a rodeo involved. So that kind of piques my interest that there's going to be a rodeo folded into all the other events that are typical of a festival. So accolades to Nevada for being inventive, including a rodeo too. That's great. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah. But I do have to, as the somebody who covers the small towns, I do have to say that Maxville has a rodeo, and I think they're going to have one this year. I'm pretty sure it's later. It's a little bit later in the year. Maybe when it's not quite so hot, I don't know. But in case you just tuned in, you've been listening to a preview of Lincoln Highway Days, the Nevada festival that comes just after the state fair. Before we leave the Lincoln Highway, I'd like to play a short clip about its history that I found in the KHOI archives from 2020. I'd like to play it before we go on to the last part of our program. So, Mike? Even in this world of social distancing, it's still safe to go outdoors. And one of the things we can do is drive along the Lincoln Highway. Except for seeing the little road signs on the Lincoln Highway, most of us don't know much about it. Our next guest,
Jan Gammon,
is here to fill us in on some of the history and tell us the route. Hi, Jan.
Hello. Thank you for having me this morning. The Lincoln Highway was formed back in 1913, and it travels from New York, Times Square in New York City, to San Francisco. It goes through 13 states, Iowa being one of those. And in Iowa, it's from Clinton to Council Bluffs. And I manage the Iowa portion for the Iowa DOT. And you probably have seen the signs up along the road marking it as such. Back in 1913, there was a group called the Lincoln Highway Association that was formed, and they did promotion of the road, designed the route, and they're the ones that went to the DOT and said, let's make this a byway. So in 2006, it became part of the DOT's byway program, and the DOT puts up those signs that you see on the road. One of the ways we tell the story about the Lincoln Highway is through interpretive panels. And we've created 20 over the past 4 or 5 years. They range from, they're in West Side, Ogden, Jefferson, Scranton, Grand Junction, outside of Grand Junction at the Lions Club Tree Park. In Nevada, we did two. Tama, there's one. In Montour, there's one. So this past year, we were able to apply or nominate ourselves for an award through the National Scenic Byway Foundation. And this is the first year they're giving these awards out. So we could go back 2 years and talk about the interpretive panels we put in the last 2 years. So it was the one in Westside, the Lions Club Tree Park, Nevada. We did two. One is about the Jefferson Highway, which intersects with the Lincoln Highway there and runs past their city hall and a new park that's named after both highways. And then the one in Tama was a Eagle Scout project, and that is at on East 5th Street at the Lincoln Highway Bridge Park near the iconic Lincoln Highway Bridge that has the words Lincoln Highway spelled out on the side panels. And then the other one we did was in Montour, and that one is about Henry Osterman. He was the first field secretary for the Lincoln Highway Association. And he also helped the U.S. Army with convoys up and down the East Coast. So in 1918, he had this idea. World War I was getting over with, and he had an idea to take Army vehicles across the United States and kind of show them off to the people and test the roads at the same time. So he combined his military experience with his Lincoln Highway experience. And that's where the 1919 Army convoy came about, which was celebrated last year in 2019 as two different groups reenacted that convoy and traveled from, they didn't start in New York, but they started at Washington, D.C., out in front of the White House, and then got on the Lincoln Highway at Gettysburg, and then drove all the way across to San Francisco. So they came through Iowa last summer. He, unfortunately, Mr. Osterman, who had this idea, the next year was traveling on the Lincoln Highway, and outside of Montour, Iowa, over by Marshalltown, he was in an auto accident and lost his life. So it's very close to this Maple Hill Cemetery there on the east side of Montour. And we put in an interpretive panel about Mr. Osterman and his life there to memorialize him and his efforts for the Lincoln Highway. So these different panels tell different stories about the Lincoln Highway and the people that helped put it together. And like you said, during a pandemic, you can still drive by and you can get out of your car and go read them and learn a little bit more about the Lincoln Highway.
This is KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, where you're listening to Local Talk, featuring people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been listening to features about the Lincoln Highway Days and the Lincoln Highway, but the other event this week is the first day of school. The school administrators were too busy to talk with us, but we did catch up with a teacher who shared some of the excitement and apprehension of starting school in 2021. Here's Erin Bataza.
I'm speaking with Erin Bataza about the first day of school. And Erin, I understand you're a teacher and a parent. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, I am a teacher at Ames Middle School, and I have kids in elementary and in high school. And so I'm just getting ready for the first day of school.
Well, that's always an exciting, hectic time. Are there any things this year that make it a little bit more hectic?
I think just having the COVID regulations and making sure that you're doing everything you need to do for COVID for both my own kids and my students.
Now, have you all been vaccinated?
My older two daughters and I have been vaccinated. My younger daughter is not eligible for a vaccine at this time.
And do you wear masks?
Yep, we wear masks. My older daughters work, and so they wear masks at work and are going to wear it at school, and my younger daughter will wear masks at school.
And can you wear masks and still teach?
Yes, I will be wearing a mask as well.
So, aside from COVID, what is going to be exciting about this first day of school?
I think kids are really excited to get back and socialize with one another, which we didn't have a lot of last year. We didn't have a first day of school last year. It was online, so it was different. And so I think kids are just excited to be able to be in the building and be around others and to meet their teacher in person.
And are you excited about that also?
I am excited about that. The first day of school is always fun.
So what do you plan to do on the first day of school?
Well, at the middle school, we have just a transition day. So it's just sixth graders and anybody new to the building. And they'll go to they'll go into the auditorium and have a presentation, and then they go and meet their teachers.
And what do you have planned for your class?
We're just going to do some get-to-know-you games so that I can learn more about them and build relationships.
And how long have you been teaching?
I have been teaching since 2009, so a while.
So you're really an experienced teacher. So last year, were you able to be in the classroom at all?
We went back and forth between in-person and online a lot. I tried to be in at the school when I was online just so that I could have access to more resources and more things. But this year we'll be all in person.
Was it hard to be both?
Yes, it was very difficult to be both in person and online at the same time. And I think not just for teachers, but for, I know my daughter struggled with it too, because they wanted to be around people, and you couldn't do that last year.
Are there any special things besides just the different kind of classes and being with the other kids that you're looking forward to?
I like new school years. You get to meet new students and watch new growth with a different group of kids, which is always good to see.
Well, how long have you been teaching?
Since 2009. I've been in Ames. This is my sixth year, I think, in Ames.
Is there anything that you particularly worry about this year?
Well, I think the Delta variant is something that everybody's worrying about, and just making sure that we're all still staying safe.
Does that require a lot of washing as well as masks and vaccines?
Yeah, well, as a teacher, I mean, making sure that pencils are clean if they're being used by more people, or your tables or the chairs, and just making sure that everything's sanitized for the next group coming in.
What do you teach?
I teach special ed.
The special ed teachers that I've known really had nice relationships with their students. They had little smaller classes, and focused more on what the people were like. Do you feel that's true?
Yes, because it's a smaller class. You can build better relationships. You can build more relationships. Make sure that each student is getting exactly what they need in the time that they're with you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your attitude, your willingness to talk to me. So thanks so much, Erin. And good luck, and have a great first day of school.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I think now it's time for a music break with the Lincoln Highway Band. This is a bluegrass band that played as part of the summer concert series at the Grimes Farm Amphitheater in 2018. This doesn't have anything to do with this year's Lincoln Highway Days, but it does provide a little change of pace.
Thank you.
was fun. And I'd like to tell you what the Grimes Amphitheater, where they were playing, what it looks like. It's a simple stage open at the back to show a huge wheat field. And if this is one, it was really fun to see this.
One of the other events covered in the news was the tribute to Bill Riley on his retirement. When I asked Paul Wearson about the times that he had judged for Bill Riley during the Scandinavian days, I found out that he had several personal stories about Bill Riley. Do you want to share some of those with us, Paul?
Well, yes, Gina, the Bill Riley connection goes back quite a ways. My career was with the Employment Service, the Employment Security Commission, or later Job Service. And I was manager of the office in Des Moines, and we were very involved with the state fair. I had to have staff out there running the employment office because prior to the fair, all of these vendors and virtually all the food stands and everybody has a need for short-term employees for covering the fair for food stands and carnivals and all that sort of thing. So prior to the fair, we had people out there taking applications. And of course, we had a lot of young people, 16 and even younger. And you have to have all kinds of birth identification for anyone under 16. And so we had the bureaucracy out there to sort through all the applicants for fair employment. So I had my own parking place out there and a golf cart to drive around in. And that's how I really became acquainted with Bill Riley Sr. And there were other connections with him, too, because my brother, who was a band director and vocal music director, brought his kids to work with Bill Riley, always stagehands and set up people and all of the things that have to be done backstage at the Bill Riley show. So my brother, and also he did judging for Bill Riley at the fair, the finals. So my brother was a musician, so he was qualified as a judge. And so we both had strong connections to Bill Riley and his wife, Ann. And then my parents, who were elderly, were employed at the Pioneer store in the old section up there on the way up to the Pioneer Village. And they worked in there, you know, it's just a general store if you've been to the Pioneer store. And they really enjoyed that. But my mother was really sensitive to the heat, and there was no real air conditioning. So Bill Riley let her take breaks down in his office, which was right in that administrative building opposite from the Bill Riley stage. And so the Bill Riley's family, they were always kind to us, and we always enjoyed their connection with Bill Riley when he was the father. You know, Bill Riley Sr. was involved, and we always really enjoyed being with them. They were very nice to us, and we were helpful in any way we could be to them. So that really traversed a long period at the fairgrounds. And up at Scandinavian Days in Story City, where we have a big celebration every year, the first weekend in June, for a long time, and where I hope we're going to be doing it again, we had the Bill Riley Talent Show, and I was involved with that as the MC. And of course, when you understand the network that goes into making the Bill Riley Show come to fruition at the fairgrounds and the state fair, you don't see the over 100 shows that are held across the country, or the state, in preparation for the fair. And we learned when we did it at Scandinavian Days that the kids who are competing come from all over the state, because you keep going to these festivals and talent shows across the state until you finish in the top three and go to the fair, you know. And so we had a lot of experience doing that. Well, as time went by, Bill Riley Sr. was getting looking around for an alternative for someone to take over. And his son, Bill Riley Jr., was running a construction company, but he had spent a lot of time working with Dad. This family is from Iowa Falls originally, the Bill Rileys. And his son, Bill Riley Jr., began driving him around the state to these various talent shows, like the one I just described at Scandinavian Days. And by and by, I think Bill Sr. talked Bill Jr. into doing a show up in their hometown of Iowa Falls. And according to Bill Jr., that's where he got the bug to perform. And he acceded to his father's desire that he take over the Bill Riley show, the talent show, the whole schmeal eventually. But I remember when Bill Riley Jr. was starting to MC the events at the fair, that Bill Sr. and I were sitting in chairs off stage. You know, Bill said, well, you know, Paul, Ann is really having health problems, and she didn't really want to leave the hotel today, and I'm worried about her. But the irony was that Bill is the one who passed away in the next year, so he actually preceded Ann in death. And I remember him saying that he was concerned about her health. And then ironically, he died that year. Well, when it comes to my role up at Scandinavian Days as MC, Bill Riley Jr. came up one day, and he loved it in Story City. And he loved it because we do the Bill Riley Talent Show in the high school auditorium, where there's lighting and a good PA system. And of course, Bill Riley, both Bill Rileys would tell you of all the things that happen when you have outdoor Bill Riley talent shows. The music blows off the piano and it rains and everything. So Bill Jr. became enamored with the idea of emceeing the show at Scandinavian Days in Story City. And I got demoted to judge. So that's the way that it was for years and years. And of course, I enjoy working with Bill Jr., and it's hard to judge. That's a tough job because you know that you're breaking somebody's heart, you know, that doesn't get chosen to move on. But I learned over time that these young people go to so many shows, and there's a different talent mix at every show. Eventually, they might place high enough to go to the fair. And so that's why they do that. And that's why you have such a mix of talent anywhere there's a Bill Riley show, because the kids come from all over the state. And it's really hard. Jill Brown was our person who organized the Bill Riley show here locally. And in working with her, I really got acquainted with how difficult and complex it is to put together a Bill Riley show locally, because you have to, and of course, the Bill Riley organization has a set way you do that, and they give you all kinds of guidance, but it's still kind of a lot of work, you know. So over time, I had a lot of experience working with the Bill Riley show, working with the young people, and also Bill Riley Jr. And it was fun to watch Bill Riley Jr. grow into his father's role. Because Bill Riley Sr., and if you're old enough, you remember a time in the 50s when these personalities on the radio were very big in Des Moines. And Bill Riley Sr. was one of these stellar personalities on radio. He was at the old KRNT radio station. And then when it blossomed into TV, and it was KRNT TV, Bill was one of the few Des Moines personalities who could make the transition from radio to television. And so he had a show called Hey Bob for young people, kids, so the kids' variety show with cartoons and all that sort of thing. And that grew into what became the Bill Riley Talent Search. And Bill raised a lot of money in radio and television for local enterprises. For instance, the Bill Riley Bike Trail. He raised a lot of money to make sure the bike trail happened. I remember one state fair when I was talking to Bill and said, "Now, Bill, how does it feel to have something named after you before you're dead?" You know, He says, well, eventually it comes true anyway. It may as well happen now. But that was just an example of Bill Riley's public spirit and how big he was at raising money for good causes and what role he had in Des Moines and actually expanding into Iowa when you look at the talent search. He was a very short man, but a very big guy and a very kind person. It was fun to watch him deal with the kids who hadn't won the contest, you know, his encouragement. And, there were kids who were very successful and had professional careers. I remember there was a student from Valley High School who was the winner in the Bill Riley show. And she is the only person ever to get a standing ovation at the Johnny Carson show. And she had at least a brief professional career. But of course, most of the young people who are victorious at the Bill Riley show may or may not go into entertainment or become professional musicians or singers, but they have that experience. And there's such a good amount of prize money available because there are various organizations and businesses who backed the Bill Riley show. For a long time, it was the Farm Bureau, and now Hy-Vee is very involved with the Bill Riley show. So they're able to offer substantial prizes for the finalists there. And it's just a very big enterprise. And of course, when you have something that is so tied to the personality of the founder, as it was with Bill Riley Sr., he's such a giant, you know, then you worry about who does the show after they retire or after their time. And that Bill Sr. was so happy in my conversations with him that his son, is his heir apparent and that he got so competent at running the shows. That was really comforting to Bill Sr. So I'm sure that when he passed on, it was a comfort to him to know that Bill Jr. would take it over. And as I said earlier, Bill Jr. Really grew into that role so perfectly and did such a fine job that I'm sure. And I think he made a lot of changes that were very good for the program because Bill Jr. Made sure that the judges, especially at the finals at the fair, were professional people who knew a lot about dance, piano, and all the different kinds of talent was displayed. So he made a real step up in the quality of judges at the finals of the fair and perfected some of the organization. So he built on his father's program and enhanced it and made it better. And I'm surprised he was retiring this year because, to me, he's a young man and still in good health and everything. And he's just passing on the scepter of the person who is going to be out front. But obviously, he's going to stay involved because there's a foundation involved in a large organization that runs events statewide, as I said earlier. And I think Bill Jr. is going to be involved at some level to make sure that organization still progresses in a way that continues to enhance the program and continues to supply all the dates and background and events that have to occur so that you can have the finals at the fair, in the state fair. So Bill's not done with that. And of course, it's such a tie-in to his family and his identity that he will, even though he's not out front, do a lot to make sure that the organization not only endures, but he'll probably make improvements on it. So this Bill Riley show is going to continue, and they're going to have all the events. And when I looked at the fair talent this year, it was apparent that even in the year of coronavirus, a lot of talent shows were held across the state, or we wouldn't have had the finals at the fair. So apparently they had a good year of running Bill Riley talent shows all over the state of Iowa in spite of the virus. So it's 52 minutes into the hour, and I think I just about filled the hour here. That's everything I know about the Bill Riley's family and the connection with my family and the great fun I had being involved with the Bill Riley Talent Search. Did I run too long, Susan?
No. Yeah, I was just admiring all that you knew to talk about and this, and thinking, what are we going to do when he's through? Well, it's time to close up the show. So thanks for bringing us to the end with a lot of interesting stuff. That was really fascinating. And now, well, those of us who maybe haven't followed the Bill Riley Show, we'll start following it. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts today, Gina McAndrews, Paul Wearson, and myself, Susan Franson. And our guests included Steve Skaggs, Janice Gammon, Aaron Bataza.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, you can hear a rebroadcast of Capital Week, originally aired Monday evening at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was a selection from Summer Concert Series of the Lincoln Highway Band.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. Remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Friends of Ada Hayden Heritage Park are sponsoring a golf cart tour for mobility-challenged adults. The tours will highlight the origin of the lake, the current vegetation and uses of the park, and the threats to the water quality within the lake. 3 90-minute tours are offered at no cost but require a reservation. Each tour can accommodate up to 6 groups of 4 adults and will be guided by a volunteer to interpret and answer questions. The first tour is scheduled for 9:30 a.m., with the other tours scheduled at 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. respectively. Reservations will be on a first-come basis. These are for September 9th, with a rain date held on September 10th. For more information and reservations, call or text Jim Patton. His phone number is 712-830-3736. Again, 712-830-3736 for a mobility-challenged tour of Ada Hayden Heritage Park. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dennis Hart.
I'm Laura Bellin.
We'd like to invite you to join us for KHOI Radio's Capital Week, your one-stop source for everything that's going on under Iowa's Golden Dome.
Each week, we'll talk about what the governor and legislature are doing, both in public and behind closed doors, that affect Iowans' lives.
So please make it a date. Join us on Capital Week, Monday nights live at 7. And if you can't make it then, catch the replay Wednesday at noon.
Right here on KHOI Community Radio.
If you like Irish music, then be sure to tune in Wednesday night at 11 p.m. for Sounds Irish with Joe Bollard.
Hey, what about that potted plant sitting in the corner? Is it possible you're not fully appreciating your philodendron?
I'm going to tell you why plants are 11 on the 1 to 10 scale of awesomeness.
The awesome communication abilities of plants and other non-human species on the next Big Picture Science.
That's Friday at 4 p.m. by my calculation.
Hi, Bill Nye the Science Guy here, CEO of the Planetary Society. We create Planetary Radio, which comes to you on KHOI Community Radio every Saturday at 11 a.m. Thank you for supporting KHOI and for taking time to enjoy community radio and those beautiful Iowa night skies.